This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce. Today, we celebrate the life of a very wonderful person. Elaine Joanne Colby, my aunt. Every kid should have an aunt like Aunt Elaine, whether they deserve it or not. We end up with fathers and mothers. That's the way things work in the world. But aunts and uncles are optional and extra. And wonderful aunts, like my Aunt Elaine, are truly extra, truly wonderful. She embodied one of the paradoxical lines from Thunder, Perfect Mind. I am barren, and I have many children. She did not give birth physically to children. She was mother to many, a dear friend to many. So much of her life was spent forging special, intimate relationships to her many nephews, nieces, and great-nephews and great-nieces. When we go through life, when we begin life, say hello to a lot of people. It's also saying hello to the world at the same time. And we're also very young, trying to get a hang of things. As we go through life, it reaches a point where we begin to say goodbye to many people. Those people who have deeply touched us and have become such important parts of our life. I often thought of my Aunt Elaine as my other mother. She took care of me. My own mother was in the hospital with lung problems, surgery. And I had such a close relationship to her that my Aunt Elaine went on an LDS mission, was gone for about a year and a half. For at least 6 months, I stubbornly refused to learn how to ride a bicycle, because I wanted her to be there to watch me learn how to ride a bike. I want to learn without her. I wanted to share this experience with her. Well, for a kid, a year and a half is an eternity, and so eventually I learned how to ride a bike without her. But it would have been so much more fun to have tried and failed with her there watching. That was one of her gifts, is that she was always fun, a joy to be around. She was a part of a special oasis for us kids. She lived with my grandmother and did not live very far from us. They were our closest relatives, and we would often visit them. They would often visit us and have these family parties in the backyard with badminton. And they had a yard where one could run around and hide in bushes and hide up trees, or at least think one was hiding in bushes and hiding up trees. Little kids, you think you're harder to find and a little bit craftier than you really are. If you have somebody who values you and will play along, like my Aunt Elaine, then she would not go straight to where you were. She would make an effort to look around for you, see if she could find you other places first. Reading her own account of her life, this is an intrinsic part of her. She always liked to play and hide herself, and she never lost that. And she gave that as a gift to us. We go through life, so often life is cut short without really being realized, being given a chance to truly become who we are. And most of the time we can only wonder if such and such a person, if given a chance to really focus on their inner life, focus on their soul, to focus on bringing their own light forth into the world, who they might have been, what they might have become. For my aunt, she was given such a chance. After the death of my grandmother, her lifelong companion, she went through a dark period. She withdrew. Did not know until later that it was part of this growing illness she would face for the rest of her life. When there was a great storm that knocked out power to many, many places a few years back, my uncle went and basically forced her to come and stay with him. And at that point, realized exactly how ill she was. She had a very large tumor that was removed. She went through chemotherapy. She recovered for a time. Was almost 2 really good years. And having gone through that darkness, having essentially died, she was reborn. She wasn't a different person. She was who she truly was. The darkness that had been a part of her life before, that she had kept from us kids, she'd passed through. And there was only this beautiful soul left. Soul in bloom, like the flowers she so adored. Go through life, our goal. The greatest offering we can return to God for the many gifts we have received is a fully bloomed human soul. In the hymn of the pearl, this is described as the pearl, as this wondrous object. Because we know a pearl does not come from happiness and joy. A pearl comes from a wound. It is a response to pain. And what happens is that in response to that pain, the pearl is formed. This smooth, white cover is put around that which is causing the wound, transforming it to this round, luminescent sphere. In our lives, we are here, and we have many burdens, many chains upon us, many things that would tie us to this or to that. If we become free here, we are free. If we become reborn here, we have new birth, new life. And if we go through the resurrection here, we are redeemed. My aunt is not a Gnostic in the sense that we normally think of these things, professing ourselves being such. She was faithfully LDS through her life. She went on an LDS mission. She died in her faith, and this should be honored. But we, as Gnostics, don't need somebody to profess anything. Don't need them to proclaim anything. It is the reality of who they are that matters. She lived out the last years of her life very close to God, very courageously, with the courage that comes from gnosis, comes from knowing presence, the divine presence of God. And going through illness requires a very different kind of courage than we normally think of people who are courageous, who become heroes for a moment, for a time. People who rush in, perhaps where angels fear to tread, save someone, or sacrifice themselves for someone else. It is the kind of courage that is like that of a sprinter, someone who is able to push themselves for a brief time and accomplish great things. There is also courage that is more like the courage of the marathon runner, someone who accomplishes difficult things constantly and impossible things occasionally. In the face of her illness, in the face of her terminal diagnosis, my aunt did not falter. She accepted everything with such a spirit of gratitude that it was a joy for her and a joy for all of us. She didn't want to burden anyone else. And she did that in the most profoundest way, by not being burdened by any of it herself, by seeing the joy that there is beneath the layer of dust and darkness we so often see upon things, through the pale upon the roof, see the light within glowing forth. The service today, I didn't read the lesson and gospel for a requiem. I read them for the liturgical day of the year, the second Sunday after Epiphany, because the intent is desire for liberation, and it seemed so appropriate. My aunt was burdened with her illness. And there were times, and there were always times, one gets tired of such things. It becomes so difficult, becomes so trying. You wonder how much longer you can make it. You wonder if it's worth it to continue on. She courageously remained with us through the holidays. Her birthday, the first part of December, she was there, her family party for it. She remained with us through Christmas. We were able to spend Christmas Eve with her. She remained through New Year's. She even stayed with us through the 12 days of Christmas, though her condition worsened. She passed from the limitations of her body the morning after, Sunday after the Epiphany. So, for her many nieces and nephews, great nieces and great nephews, they would not associate her death with the holidays, to have wondrous holidays, just as she would have wished. But the time had come. Bodies can only take us so far. Our will can only take us so far. And bodies end. Lives upon this earth end. But the ending is only the ending of that particular part of the story. It's like when you read a wonderful book or a wonderful story or an amazing poem. And when it is so good, when that ends, you want more. You want more so much. But that wanting is a part of why it is such an amazing story, poem, book. Because it takes you to that point, and it has that ending where you are left, still wanting so much more, still carrying it with you in your life. The end of new memories of someone who is very dear to you is hard. It's hard to even work one's mind around that one can't just go and laugh. Someone you're so used to being able to visit and laugh with. And that becomes very difficult. But that spirit of gratitude that she showed shows us the way forward. As I am very, very grateful for the time that I had with her. And so very grateful that she was able to have that rebirth, that resurrection, to come back through the darkness and live in the world as this fully realized person. This very bright and shining light in the world, fully bloomed soul, she shared with everyone. So having been free, having been reborn, shining her light into the world, she now parts from it and goes further along her way. In our tradition, no belief is required, no rites are needed. They are all things that help. They are not necessary. And such a soul as hers is freer than any I think I have ever met in my life. So, have no concern. She is free from her illness, free from limitations of suffering in her body. She has liberation and freedom. She has the joy of a more closer communion with God, a fuller realization of who she truly is. And we can only hope that we may attain something of that sort while we live. So, remember that which hangs fixed heaven and sent upon us, remain with us always. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.